Big news! Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is here. It's Black Friday in July. Right now, score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair. Get our lowest prices of the summer for 5 days only. Plus, amazing doorbuster deals and 24-hour surprise flash deals with fast and free shipping site-wide. So don't wait. Head to Wayfair.com today to score up to 80% off now through July 28th.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
All right, today we're unpacking more in the Karen Reed trial as it's beginning to get started. Retired FBI Special Agent Jennifer Coffendaffer, who has taken a clear stance, believing the evidence points towards Karen Reed hitting John O'Keefe with her SUV, is with us. The controversy swirling around investigative integrity, narrative control, complex injuries, and the official narrative maybe less straightforward than it appears. Jennifer, let's start by questioning the investigative baseline, the thing that's going to be a big deal in all this. When you have a lead investigator fired mid-case for misconduct, how is that and how does that typically affect the reliability of the forensic findings themselves when your lead is involved in something that doesn't appear all that great and then ends up losing his job? I know not directly for the case. It was for drinking technically on the job, but I think we all know the real reason eventually why this all went down. What's your thoughts on all that? How is this going to affect round two now that he's not employed?
Well, I think the big difference between round one and two concerning Detective Proctor or Trooper Proctor, is that he is fired. And I think actually that could play better for the prosecution. And let me tell you why. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have been spinning it the other way. It's because they are going to get to come out now, which they weren't able to before, and say, we did a full-on investigation of this man. Mm-hmm. There was no collusion. There was no corruption. There was no planting of evidence. He did nothing wrong that we could find. And they are not allowed to mention the federal investigation, but they'll say that we can find for this investigation that took place for almost a year, except drinking on the job, driving his cruiser when he'd been drinking, and of course, misappropriate statements regarding Karen Reed. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have that in their pocket, and they're going to be able to say, and listen, we didn't just give him a slap on the wrist. We took this man's career. We completely flushed it. And most people who drink on the job get a second chance at that level. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about the FBI, but at the local level, oftentimes they get to enter a program. They get a second chance, especially if they haven't been in an accident or hurt anyone, which was the case here. And so they're going to say, we not only, he was completely disciplined. So we're not taking it easy on our own. And I think that's going to play to help the prosecution and sort of downplay the allegations that were inferred in the first trial.
I want to ask you about the independent investigation that went on. I mean, you've been citing it a lot. People have been talking about it. This is one where they looked into all this and they said, not the best police work, not the best investigation. I'm just kind of paraphrasing, but they didn't find corruption is basically the long and short of it. Why should the public trust the integrity of the investigation when so many of these elements that they're investigating, how do you investigate it? How do you know that there wasn't or that someone did not plant taillight in that front yard? Just all those little key factors and little things in this that seem a bit off. The Sally Port, all of those things that people look at going, this seems a little bit odd. Now, of course, you can investigate it, but these are events that took place way before this investigation started. How do you get to the bottom of some of those things? Can anybody get to the bottom of some of those things, no matter how in-depth an investigation, when they happened so long ago?
You know, the taillight being planted is absolutely impossible. And I'm going to tell you why, Tony.
Okay, yeah.
When you look at when MSP was on scene, and when you look at where her Lexus was, It was impossible, physically impossible, unless somebody could teleport or have bewitched nose and, you know, twitch it and somehow get a piece from the taillight and run over there and drop it. It's an impossibility time-wise. And it's become kind of like the OJ glove, you know, found if it doesn't fit, it must have quit, right? Oh, if these pieces don't fit, you must have quit. This is the problem. They had a engineer, and I don't know if that was her exact title, but she was specifically in charge of all the pieces that were found at various places in the crime scene to find these little pieces. It was over, I think it was over a dozen pieces. I can't remember the exact number. In fact, I think it was over 20 pieces. And she put it all together and it perfectly fit in the housing. And remember, we also have the dash cam video in the morning of her broken taillight. So it's one of these things, Tony, that it isn't possible, but people took this notion that was truly contrived and tried to make it a reality. In other words, somebody went to the Sallyport, grabbed pieces and somehow went back there and threw them all in there. It's impossible. We have the video footage of MSP being there. We know they got there at approximately 4 o'clock, as I recall. They were there for hours excavating and doing the best they could in the middle of one of the worst blizzards Canton had seen. It's just not possible.
What about the parking lot? What about the parking lot where it appears she nudges, at the very least, the other vehicle in there? We saw that in the first trial. We saw the footage. And you do see the wheel move a little bit on the other car. So there is some sort of contact there. Was that enough to break the taillight there versus during the, if she hit John O'Keefe that night?
Okay, so a couple of things here. Again, we have the dash cam footage from early in the morning showing her taillight broken. Sorry. I know what you're talking about in the parking lot.
Yeah.
In the driveway.
In the driveway park. Yep.
Yeah. When she pulls out, you're right. But by that point, remember, she herself has already told Jen McCabe and Carrie, oh my gosh, I broke my taillight.
True.
You know, she's already told them all about that. So why did she say that before that very slight bumper tap? Also, in watching that video more times than I can name, the snow on the back of that vehicle that she taps, it doesn't even move.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is not an explosive impact. And if you look where the impact happened, it's on the bumper.
It'll be a bumper,
it's not tail light housing at all. And again, I think we're going to get the evidence from the Lexus SUV, because now they've gotten much more evidence from the, what I'm kidding around calling the black box, because it's not a plane, but from the system within that Lexus. And I think we're going to know exactly how fast that impact took place at, as opposed to the 24 miles an hour in reverse where the prosecution says John was hit.
What sort of new information are we expecting from the Lexus information about the vehicle itself that we didn't have the first round?
Well, I think there is going to be more specific information regarding everything from how fast it was going, the time frame it went that fast, what impact was reached. I think they're also going to discuss exactly what a driver would have been able to see. All those holes that really existed the first go around in terms of talking about the Lexus information. There were so many holes, Tony.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to fill them all in.
Why didn't we have that information the first round?
I think there were multiple issues. From what I recall is that they literally did not have the technical expertise of the person that looked through the information, that the Lexus information was specifically in their wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they were an expert and could extract, but not the expertise that we're going to get now that had the ability to get everything out of the information that was contained in that vehicle. So that's the big difference.
Okay, that makes more sense. Let's get back to the actual the moment of where things would have gone down if Karen Reed hit John O'Keefe. Obviously, we have the broken taillight. That would take quite an impact to have a body hit the taillight and then, you know, shatter it the way it did. That thing was in a lot of pieces. And the argument that a lot of people are making, including obviously the Karen Reed camp, is the physical injuries on John O'Keefe don't seem to match up with a vehicle strike. Can you counter that? And how do you counter that?
Well, a couple of things. I think a lot of people that talk about this have never seen multiple motor vehicle accidents. They're just sort of drawing in their imagination what they see on TV when somebody gets hit with a car and they're thrown, and, you know, how they look and bruising. People who have been to multiple vehicle accidents know that everyone is so different, each one meaning, and how that impact affects the person. I believe it's a huge percentage that people are impacted more dead on than at a glancing blow. Mm-hmm. And I think John O'Keefe was hit in a glancing blow with the majority of the impact hitting that arm. I think there's added complication because I believe he had a glass in his hand. Mm-hmm. How would that have shattered and possibly caused those abrasions? Or was it the plastic polymer that encased the taillight? Remember, that taillight wasn't glass. It's like a plastic polymer. And then also, how does the cold affect that? Mm-hmm. You know, how really cold it would have been that night. And you know how when things are cold, they're just more fragile,
yeah.
I guess you would call
brittle.
It more easily brittle and easy to break. How is that going to impact? And that's why the CW Commonwealth this time, it was so smart to get somebody that this is their bailiwick. They're an engineer. They're well educated. This is what they do for a living. They look at crime scenes. The person that they had be their crime scene reconstructionist was sorely inadequate, to say the least. And now they've got a heavy hitter. And I think it's so important. Like, I would have him up at the very top of my order of proof, because everybody wants to know how in the world that exactly reconstruct this for us. How was he hit? How did he land? Where did he land? Show us.
And that's a big thing for me too, because I wonder about that, because again, just yes, I know things are more brittle in the cold and all that. I mean, it's just, that's a strong impact, and I don't know where we see the bruising or anything on John's body from that impact. It's a tough one. It really is, because it's. But again, I'm not a crime scene reconstructionist. I'm not a doctor. I'm just speaking from a layman's perspective of, well, this looks a little weird. So I'm very interested to hear about the better accident reconstructionist that can talk in complete sentences in this next trial, which will be lovely.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.